Welcome to Healthy Births, Happy Babies, where we share tips, tools, and stories grounded in natural childbirth and parenting principles, so that instead of feeling overwhelmed and confused during this exciting time in your life, you feel safe, supported, and empowered in your childbirth and parenting journey. And now, here's your host, Dr. Jay Warren.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Healthy Births, Happy Babies. I'm Dr. Jay Warren. I am a family wellness chiropractor and the wellness care coordinator here at the CAP Wellness Center. And today we have Dr. Pia Martin to talk to you about a very important subject, prenatal nutrition. But before I introduce Dr. Pia to you, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor, the CAP Wellness Center, who makes this podcast possible. The CAP Wellness Center in Encinitas, California has assembled an incredible team of fully certified holistic healthcare professionals that offer the very best in prenatal and postpartum wellness services. We offer acupuncture, chiropractic, massage, yoga, lactation support services, and a wide variety of birth education classes to ensure that you are fully able to experience the power of birth. And now I would like to introduce to you Dr. Pia Martin. Dr. Pia Martin is a practicing wellness doctor in San Diego, California, a graduate from Parker University in Dallas with a doctorate in chiropractic and certifications in clinical nutrition and wellness coaching. She is an active member of the ICPA and an author of hundreds of blog posts on healthy living. She specializes in providing custom nutritional health programs for new moms so that they can have a healthy pregnancy and a happy, healthy baby. And with that, I'd like to introduce to you Dr. Pia Martin. Dr. Pia, welcome.
Welcome, Jay. It's nice to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being our guest. And I know we've got a lot of information to cover, and I want to get right into it as soon as possible. But before we do that, would you mind just sharing a little more information about yourself? We heard your introduction at the beginning, but just tell us a little bit how you got involved in nutrition and specifically in nutrition for pregnancy.
Well, it started off for me when I had patients of mine becoming pregnant and exploring the journey with them, and it was so joyful to be a part of that with them, and it was amazing to me to then be a part of a newborn's life, a new child's life. So that's kind of how the initial seed happened for me. I couldn't believe how wonderful this felt, to be part of life in this way. And then not long after that, I had a chance meeting at a Red Tent event with Care Messer, who's one of the movers and shakers in the natural birth community and also director of CAP Wellness. And she convinced me, she came running up to me, she said, "This is your journey," after she heard one of my patients' birth stories. So, and lastly, you know, to really put it and wrap it up, it is the single best way I think I can have a positive influence on the impact of future generations to come. So that's why it's so important for me, and it's why most of my practice specializes in pregnancy and newborns.
Well, fantastic, and we're so proud to have you part of it. And for here today, we're going to jump right into the material. So those of you listening will be able to just get the wisdom from Dr. Pia now. So the most important questions that are burning in women's minds usually is like, all right, now that I'm pregnant, what are the best foods for me to be eating? And do I need to make radical changes, or do I need to just start with a certain set of foods? So how would you answer that question?
Well, there are a number of basics that we think are really important for every pregnant mom and child to have happy, healthy babies. But there's another idea that they should think about, and it is that everybody is a little bit different, and everybody brings their whole self to the table, and everybody also has a different genetic profile, which they also bring to the table. Mm. So the future of a child's prospects are usually a delicate balance between genes and environment, and there's lots of factors that can cause baby's genes to turn on and off in the womb, and the three most important ones: a mother's diet, which we're going to discuss today, stress, emotional, environmental, and added or supplemental nutrition. And before we jump into what are the best foods, we really need to understand what are our bodies made from. They're made of about 15 to 20% protein, 16% water, 20% fat, 5% minerals, and limited carbohydrates. So with that idea in mind, we suggest to moms that they make sure that they have the necessary nutrients to build a human. So it's kind of looking at it from a very holistic point of view, but also filling in the spaces for each person and their uniqueness. So the first one is water, of course. It's one of the basic building blocks of the human body, and we're made of about 50 to 60% water. And when we don't get adequate supplies of water, our bodies just don't really work well. The other thing that happens is a woman's blood volume increases dramatically during pregnancy. And at 28 weeks, the fetus is about 84% water, not soda or fruit juice or anything like that. So it's important to notice that that's key. So we say aim for a gallon a day and start by adding it in over the week, because what ends up happening is if you start from 2 or 3 glasses and then add in to 8 to 10 glasses, you'll find you'll be in the bathroom every 10 minutes. So we want moms to add it in gradually, and then to also make sure that they stop drinking the water about, you know, a few hours before they go to sleep, so they're not up in the night. Couple of key things: if your lips are dry and your pee is not clear, it's a sure sign you need to drink more water. Really high on our list is leafy greens, and we have it in a separate category because it's such an important one for minerals and calcium and magnesium. Fresh and organic is best. We think a variety. We're not saying one form of lettuce or green leaves is the right one, but to make it a nice variety of leaves, a big green salad once a day is a really good start. Spinach, kale, mustard greens, chard, arugula. And then if you like, you can add some parsley and cilantro into the mix. And once a day is, for me, is a really big deal with the leafy greens. Then I think we move on to nuts and seeds. And I add this in because it's a really good, handy little snack when people are always looking for something that they can have on the go, when they're traveling, you know, if they're feeling a little nauseous. Nuts and seeds are a good one as a replacement. They're a good source of protein and an excellent snack. They're one of the most nutrient-dense foods out there. Best choices are raw or slightly dry toasted in the oven. Walnuts are great for their omega-3. Cashew and almonds have copper and vitamin E in them. Hazelnuts, Brazil nuts with selenium. Pecans have lots of antioxidants. Macadamias have really high fat content, so they're really good, and pistachios are rich in copper. Pine nuts are also really good. A word about the nuts. We don't actually add peanuts onto this list for a couple of different reasons. Peanuts are a legume. They are also one of the highest allergens out there, and they're also associated with mold. So we don't say to people the best food would not peanuts wouldn't be on the list for us. Then we dive into protein. The body needs lots of protein when they're pregnant. The body's made up of 15 to 20% protein, and the amino acids from protein provide the building blocks that make most of the body's tissues, and that's happening very early on in pregnancy, so it's important to have lots of good protein. A pregnant woman, the guidelines are suggesting now these days that 80 grams of protein a day is what is recommended. And we have a wonderful protein handout that we'll talk about a little bit later in the session that we can share. Good sources of protein are lean grass-fed meats, free-range poultry, fatty fish, free-range eggs. Again, just a little note, if you're vegetarian or vegan, this is a little bit harder. You've got to work a little harder to get that 80 grams in while you're pregnant. So we can chat about that too in another session in more depth. And then we move on to colorful vegetables. This is in a separate for the green leafies. These vegetables are chocked full of minerals and vitamins, carbohydrates and fiber. And this is an area where I see a huge opportunity. I think people are doing good with the greens, but they're just not doing enough with the veggies. As a whole, we're just not eating enough vegetables. So lots of deep, colorful veggies, lots of beets and broccoli and cauliflower, the good root vegetables, celery. There's lots of really, really good ones if, well, you know, if you took the time to have a look for a really nice long list. Pumpkins, sweet potatoes, squashes, add lots of those to the diet. Just a quick note on that. Some people are challenged with nightshade vegetables because they contain lectin. So if that's you.
And which ones are the nightshades?
Nightshades are things like red peppers, green peppers, yellow peppers, tomatoes, and eggplants and mushrooms.
Okay.
Essentially, those vegetables grow at night, so they have a different kind of cycle of growth. And therefore, they have, you know, a little bit of a sensitivity for some folks, and they take those, they cause an acidic type of environment. So if you're unsure, just check that out with your health and wellness provider, your nutritionist, your doctor. It's a good idea. If you don't do well with those, don't add those in. Next, we have good fats. We've been trained for years and years that fat is not good for us, that it can cause heart disease and obesity. And we've since learned that this is not the case and that not all fat is created equal. The body is made up of approximately 20% fat, a little bit more in women and a little bit less in men. And fat's a primary building block that allows the liver to make cholesterol. And why is this important? Cholesterol is the precursor to make hormones, cell walls, and most importantly, the brain. A low-fat diet during pregnancy is a bad idea. And contrary to lots of popular belief, you will not get fat eating good fat. You will, however, get fat eating lots of carbs.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, it is. So if you're vegan or vegetarian, good fats are a must. They're absolutely non-negotiable. And they also, one of the key things is they help stabilize blood sugar. Really, really important when you're pregnant. Good fats also promote fertility if you're trying to get pregnant, and they're also, you know, just better hormone production overall. Good fats, what are they? Avocado comes to mind for me because people usually love those and can tolerate them really well. Coconut oil is another good one because it's easy to digest. It's a little bit different composition. Grapeseed oil, olive oil, flaxseed, organic butter, or Kerrygold. I like Kerrygold because it comes from Ireland and all the cows in Ireland are grass-fed. Ghee, egg yolks, lean meat, fatty fishes, nuts and seeds. Just a quick word here about dairy. I don't want to get into any soapboxes about dairy, but I know a lot of pregnant women tend to look at fat and protein. They tend to really load up on dairy. So we suggest, actually, that you look at all these other sources first, and then maybe suggest a limited amount, particularly because it's so highly processed, and a lot of people are very, very sensitive to dairy. So we suggest sort of looking at that not as the first option, but as maybe an option after you've considered these other foods.
Okay.
Fruits and veggies are often talked about in the same breath. So it's like you need to eat lots of fruits and vegetables. Well, in my world, it's lots of green leafies, lots of veggies, and a little bit of fruit. So, and I would choose the fruits that are nice and dark and are lower on the glycemic index. And those kinds of fruits are berries, you know, the strawberry, the blueberry, the blackberry, raspberry, lemons, limes, great for vitamin C, pears, pineapples, the bromelain. And aim to eat twice as many vegetable servings as you do the piece of fruit. So the tendency for most of us when you say eat lots of fruits and vegetables, that usually translates into lots of fruits and not as many vegetables. So just thinking about that a little bit differently, fruit sugar is fructose. And if you have insulin sensitivity, which can happen a lot when you're pregnant because of the shift in hormones, it's a good idea to you know, really sort of, you know, not go overboard with fruit. Spices and flavors. This one's not talked about a lot with pregnant moms, but we are learning more and more about the health benefits of spices. and particularly things like ginger and turmeric and allspice and mustard seed, garlic, onions, cilantro, sea salt, and apple cider vinegar. So I'm thinking, you know, looking for creative ways to really add some of those into the mix and make some homemade salad dressings, some Thai-style curry, maybe some foods you've never tried before, you know, ginger tea. And this is a great place to Google for the resource. I often say to moms, you know, have you been Googling again? Have you gotten all of your information on Google? Is that unique to you? but in this particular case, I think Google's a good resource if you're looking for recipes.
Okay, not with the other symptoms that might be coming up where they might freak them out too much, right?
We don't want that. I think that, you know, sometimes, you know, not overdoing the stress level and feeling so anxious about, you know, trying to do the right thing. It's just, you know, moms can get really overwhelmed with that, and then they end up really not knowing what to do, and they get confused. And so this is why we're trying to keep this really simple and straightforward, so that they know exactly. And we also want it to make sense. So we're looking at it from a human perspective. Like, you know, for example, and we want mothers to tap in. We want them to tap in and say, you know, is this good for me? Do I feel good this way? Or do I not feel good this way? You know, and really sort of understand what's good for them. But yes, that is a good way for them to get too stressed out, which is not good for baby.
No, not at all. And I've noticed, like, from the list of the foods to do, you're really talking in categories rather than saying you have to eat this specific food. So it kind of loosens the reins for you to be able to figure out your own best diet that works for your body. And especially if it's changed during pregnancy, where you can tolerate some foods and not others.
Exactly. Exactly right, Jay. Last on our list is whole grain. And we put it lower on the list because, for a lot of reasons, we think some of these things are really, really important. What we should do is we should really make sure that if we choose whole grains, that they're whole, sprouted, that they're not coming in boxes or packets, and that they're not processed. So we're really looking to suggest to moms that they limit their exposure to preservatives and, you know, foods that have a lot of filler and artificial chemicals in. So we're going to suggest here that grain should be more of a garnish. In other words, your plate should be half full of veggies and green leaves and some protein, and then a small handful of whole grains if you want to go that route. And we also suggest maybe switching out and using quinoa here and there, or some of the other grains that are more beneficial, like buckwheat. So that's our... It's a little bit more challenging if you're vegan and vegetarian, because a lot of, you know, those moms eat a lot of grains, and they need to get that for energy source. But we're suggesting really making sure that their sources are good.
Okay.
So that pretty much covers our top 10. That's our top 10 of, you know, the best foods to eat and why one should do that.
Right. And you've mentioned a couple of things that you want to either limit or possibly avoid. Peanuts, you had talked about, and nightshades. Are there other foods that you'd recommend trying to stay away from or to avoid completely?
Absolutely. There's a long list here, but again, you know, there's some obvious ones. Junk food and fast food, you know, Most folks know when they're eating fast food and junk food, they know exactly what it is. Studies have shown up to 200 different chemicals are found in the umbilical cords of some babies. So this is a really good reason to avoid a quick stop at the fast food outlet. This is really a time for you to get earthy and grounded with what you're not putting into your body and what you're feeding your child. These foods have little nutrients and lead to lots of blood sugar swings. And the other thing they do is they have a really big impact on hormonal health and, you know, morning sickness. And who doesn't want to eliminate morning sickness? Sugar and sugar substitute. Sugar is not a nutrient-dense choice for baby. And you have to remember, you know, what you eat, mom, baby eats too. And so sugary snacks can lead to blood sugar swings. It has a huge impact on fetal development. Keeping blood sugar stable is really key when you're pregnant. And it also, you know, too much sugar, too many, you know, carbs can cause problems with gestational diabetes down the road. Gestational diabetes will then cause other problems, which, you know, those moms out there that are looking to have a natural birth, those things come into question when you have a diagnosis like that. So sugar substitutes, you know, kick the substitutes to the curb. Use honey if you need a little bit of sweetness. Use fruit. Trans fats and vegetable oils. We know for a long time now that those are not good choices for us. They're omega-3s and they don't, omega-6s, I'm so sorry, and they cause inflammation in the system. So check your labels, and this is an area where if you eat out, you really need to start asking those questions. What's in the food? What types of oil are they using? Today, most especially here in Southern California, they're used to those kinds of questions. And they're more than willing to accommodate and cook food in olive oil or something else. So it's good to ask. Processed grains. We're often told lots of little carb snacks to keep blood sugar stable. Again, you're talking about what you eat, baby eats. And on that note, you know, just before we go on, there is some thought out there where, you know, your baby survive in spite of your diet as a mom. And in some cases, that's true. You can have a happy, healthy baby. But what ends up happening is down the road that baby's going to take from mother. So what ends up happening is postpartum, that mother is completely depleted and struggles at that point then to supply good milk and the nutrients, not only for baby, but for herself. So it's an important thing to think about if you feel that way as a mom. Oh, well, my baby will take whatever it needs, not without a price, it doesn't. And the other thing is, wouldn't you want your baby to have the best quality anyway? So just a thought on that one as we're going about our day, just a different way of thinking about things. Alcohol, drugs, and cigarettes, I think this is a no-brainer. There are some folks out there that think a glass of wine is okay to have while you're pregnant, particularly if it's red wine. Here's just a thought on that. Your body goes through a lot of hormonal changes during pregnancy, and it affects the entire endocrine system, not just a piece of it. And the liver is an endocrine organ. The liver will metabolize alcohol before it metabolizes toxins. So for this reason, I think I'd put alcohol in the back burner until after pregnancy. High mercury fish like tuna and swordfish and shark, mercury is a toxic metal and it impacts brain function. And I think enough said there.
Right.
Enough said, yeah. Raw seafood, why? Because you can have complications with parasites and worms, and that's the last thing we would want. So sushi, unfortunately, and sashimi off the list. Soft cheeses, often made with unpasteurized milk, and they harbor listeria. This is a common one that's out there, not to do soft cheese. Raw eggs, again, for the idea around bacteria, particular salmonella bacteria. So say no to homemade Caesar dressing, hollandaise sauce, mayonnaise, that kind of thing. So if you're at a potluck or something like that, might be a good question to ask where things are coming from. Then we have a little bit of a mixed bag. Deli meats and hot dogs, they're made with chemicals, often have nitrates, etc. in, which are not good for baby. Chinese food often has a lot of MSG, which is an excitotoxin. Again, not good for the brain, not good for baby, not good for mom. Soy is a bit of a questionable one. If you choose to eat soy, really look for the fermented organic sources of soy for your soy protein. Lots of sources out there to choose from today, so something to consider. And again, then we talked about peanuts. I think I'd avoid peanuts.
Okay. What about coffee or tea? I know that a lot of women are concerned around the caffeine or maybe other reasons with coffee. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, coffee's come into its own lately. Have you noticed that there's new coffee shops popping up all over the place?
Yes.
There is, right? Yeah. There's a lot of discussion around coffee, and here's how I think, you know, I want to put it out there for moms. Coffee often raises cortisol levels in the body. Caffeine, it sort of, you know, as they say, it jacks you up, it gives you a buzz. And so for that reason, I would consider how coffee affects you. Cortisol is a stress handling hormone that's secreted from the adrenal gland in response to stress. So due to the hormonal changes taking place in pregnancy, it's vital that the adrenal glands, who are your stress handling glands, are really strong and stress is kept to a minimum. Pregnancy is stressful enough, and the adrenal glands need to be strong in order to have a healthy pregnancy. High cortisol has an impact on energy levels, blood sugar levels, and so much more. If you do choose to have a coffee a day, we suggest that you add coconut milk, goat milk, full-fat organic milk, half and half, or some other fat. Some people are putting in MCT fat into the coffee so that you slow down the release of caffeine into the system. So that's how I think you need to think about it. I think caffeine, do without it. But if you're going to have it, make sure that you understand how it's going to affect you. That's how we'd like to think about that. So we want moms to sort of really be proactive in making their choices and to understand why it makes sense, not just you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. Other drinks, we strongly recommend that you avoid sugary drinks and sodas and alcohol. Stick to plain water, spritz a lemon. Protein shakes are a good drink if someone wanted to have a substitute. And we can talk more about how good those would be later in the podcast or even in another podcast. So just a little word about green tea and herbs. If you want to have green tea, understand that you will need to up your folic acid intake if you decide that you want to add green tea into your diet. Another note on herbal teas, just, you know, most herbs are contraindicated for pregnancy because they, you know, just don't know how they're going to affect baby. There's not enough research out there. Some midwives suggest raspberry leaf tea to help with delivery. Again, that talk to your midwife about that, your doula about that, see whether or not that's right for you.
Okay, that makes sense. You know, and we've only got a couple minutes left, but I have two more questions that I want to ask you. But before I do that, can you tell our listeners how to get in touch with you? I know you're in the process of writing a book, and some of the people listening might want to get in touch with you or learn from you before that comes out. So how best to reach you or to see your other work?
Okay, well, thanks, Jay, for asking. I'm really excited. The book is it's taking shape, and it's a labor of love for me. I can be reached at Dr. Pia Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, @gmail.com, which is my, and I'm happy that people email me. They can also find all of that information on drpia.com, which has all of my information there as well. I write a blog I have been doing for a really long time that has lots of great health and wellness tips. So they'll find that on drpia.com. Plus, there's how to contact me, where I'm located, all those kinds of things. That's probably the best way to do that.
Okay, and I'll include that information in the show notes, so those of you listening, you'll be able to have those links. And I also wanted to ask you, you had mentioned something earlier in the podcast around a pot or a protein questionnaire.
Right. Actually, what we've done is I get asked all the time about, you know, how much protein does a pregnant mom need, and what does it look like? So we did a little 6-page ebook that explains how much protein, gives you lots of really good guidelines as to what a particular food, how much protein, how much it, what it looks like, and also talks about the digestion of protein, because people are up their protein levels when they're pregnant and then have trouble digesting it, and that's where things like constipation come from and some other problems with acid reflux. So we talk about all of that, and I'm happy to send that little ebook out to any of the listeners for free. They just need to email me at drpiamartin@gmail.com, and it's drpiamartin@gmail.com. I'd be happy to shoot that over to them.
That's fantastic of you, and I'll definitely make sure to include that in the podcast notes as well. So those last two questions that I had for you, one is for the moms that are listening, or the moms-to-be, and another one is for the babies. Now, so for the moms to moms-to-be that are listening, what's the one thing, Dr. Pia, that you'd really like them to take to heart from our discussion today and to really remember?
I think for every mom, every mom wants a happy and healthy, strong and smart baby. And in order to do that, the best way is to understand that it matters what moms eat, drink, and think. The best gift she can give to a baby is to eat well, keep stress to a minimum, and exercise. So that's really the big takeaway. It really matters.
Right.
Not only does it matter right now, but it matters for future generations. If you can only, that sounds enormous, but it's really just grounded as we should be as humans,
Right. And then what about for the babies? Like, if you could whisper one thing, like one little piece of wisdom into the ear of the little baby whose parents listening right now, what would it be?
Oh, here's what I'd say to baby. I'd say, baby, your mom wants the very best life for you. And this is the reason she's surrounding herself with a team of loving, caring, and professional people to help support her through the process.
That is beautiful. Thank you, Dr. Pia. Thank you for taking the time today. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. Thank you for offering to receive the requests from the moms that are listening. And it's been an absolute pleasure. There's a lot of other information I've just thought of as we in this discussion that we'd be able to do lots of other podcasts. So I hope that you'd be willing to come back and share more information with us at a later time.
Oh, Jared, love that. There's no greater joy for me than to do this, than to share our knowledge, and hope that it gets passed on and used, and it's just fantastic. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm thrilled to be part of this community at Cat Wellness, and thank you again. I'm happy to do more of this.
Fantastic. Well, we'll be happy to have you back for sure. So that wraps up this episode of Healthy Births, Happy Babies. I hope you got a ton of value out of today, and we will see each other very soon. All right, and be well.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information about this episode and other natural childbirth and parenting topics, please visit us at capwellnesscenter.com or message us on our Facebook page with any questions you might have. We here at the Cap Wellness Center look forward to helping you and your family be as happy and healthy as you can be.